Last Sunday morning, if you were here, you may remember that we went through the book of 1 Corinthians. We started with chapter 1 and went through chapter 16. In that study, we learned how, in many ways, the Corinthian church was a bad church. The congregation had numerous problems, but Paul, as he began that letter, addressed it to the church of God, 1 Corinthians 1:2. Then as he concluded that letter, he noted how these Christians were still in Christ. One of the things that we did not look at last week is part of the scripture reading that Harvey read. He did a good job, but to draw our attention to the verse that I want to key in on, let's go back, if you kept your Bible open, to 1 Corinthians 4, and look very carefully at what we find in verse 17. Paul said, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord." And then here's the key part. "Who shall put you in remembrance of my ways, which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul warned the Corinthians that Timothy was coming to them. Paul said, "This young man is a great man. He is my child." That is, he's my spiritual son in the faith. Paul said, "He's beloved. And he's also someone who is faithful in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 4:17, though, tells us that Timothy was not coming for a social visit. Timothy was coming to remind these Christians about certain things associated with the Christian faith. Paul said, "He's going to come and he's going to remind you of my ways, which are in Christ." And not only did Paul say, "He's going to remind you of my ways, which are in Christ," he said, "My ways, which are in Christ," he said, "I teach these things. And I teach these things in every church." These apostolic ways were lessons the Corinthians needed to hear. Now, there's some really wonderful information. There is some wonderful information in this verse. But this morning, I want to restrict our attention to just one thing. This morning I want to pay attention to the word which is translated ways. When it comes to the Christian faith, there are some ways, there are some specific things that we need to follow. Paul said these ways, these specific things are so important, he taught them in every church. How could some practices, how could some things be so important, so critical or crucial, that they need to be taught in every single church? At least this was how it was in the first century. And we would wonder that for our day and time, should this also not be true? That there are some ways, the ways in Christ, which should be communicated, which should be practiced in every place. Well, what are these ways? Well, maybe if we go back and we study the word way, as it's used in the New Testament, we can better understand what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, and thus better know God's will for our lives. Now, if we look at this word way in 1 Corinthians 4:17, we find that it's a word that's used over 100 times in the New Testament. And of these 100 times, not all these times are relevant to 1 Corinthians 4:17. One of the first passages, though, that uses this verse in a way that is relevant to 1 Corinthians 4 is found in the first New Testament book. This is the book of Matthew. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Now, these two verses are part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and they are not difficult to understand. Before these two verses, we of course have Matthew 7:12. This is where Jesus gives the so-called golden rule. Immediately after giving this rule, Jesus says this, Matthew 7, starting with verse 13. "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way." There's the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 4. "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way," there's our word, "that leadeth into life, and few are they that find it." The Son of God said, there is a broad way. He also said, there is a narrow way. Now, that, as we think about this, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4:17. When Paul said, "My ways which are in Christ," these ways, were they part of the broad way? Or were these ways in Christ part of the narrow way? Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Well, we would suspect that it was not part of the broad way, because Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction. And that certainly would not have been what Paul wanted the Corinthians to experience. He wanted these people to go to heaven. And as we saw from last week's lesson, as we went through 1 Corinthians from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 16, we found in that study that the Corinthians were doing some things that were consistent with the broad way. This was such a serious matter that Paul says, "I'm sending Timothy to you so he can help you get on the narrow way. So you can follow my ways which are in Christ, the ways which need to be taught in every church." As we go through our lives, we sometimes need to stop. We need to give pause and consider where we are in our Christian walk. Are we living a life that is typical of most everyone else in the world? Do we, as we look at our existence, blend in fairly or reasonably well with the world at large? if the answer to these questions is yes, we're probably in some trouble. The broad way is the way of the majority, Matthew 7:13. And that broad way is typically what most people want. The narrow way is only taken by a few people. But Jesus said that way, which involves the ways of Christ, even though it's restricted, it leads to eternal life. The ways in Christ, 1 Corinthians 4:17, are not the ways of the world. An inspired man, James, once said that friendship with the world makes us God's enemy. And he was exactly right. As we think about what we've learned thus far, we need to take that narrow way which is in Christ. We've got a little bit of a foundation to build on. Let's pick up a little more information. And this additional material, if you have the sheet, you may have already turned over to Matthew 21. This is our next passage. We want to look at Matthew chapter 21 and the first part of verse 32. Prior to the work of Paul, prior to Jesus' ministry, there was a man by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had some association with this word way that we're studying this morning. If you found Matthew 21, let's see what we find in the first part of verse 32. For John, this is John the Baptist, came unto you in the way of righteousness. John the Baptist, when he preached, he talked about a way. And John said, this way that I'm sharing with you is not any way. It's the way of righteousness. Well, this way of righteousness was then more fully developed by Jesus. And it was fleshed out. It was more fully developed by inspired men like Paul. Now, today we live in a time where a lot of people do not seem to be all that concerned about righteousness. But if we want to go to heaven, if when we leave this life we want glory instead of gory, we need to be concerned about righteousness. 1 Corinthians 6:9 tells us that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If the unrighteous will not be in heaven, then heaven would seem to be a place that is reserved for the righteous. And this is exactly right. But if we want to be righteous, what do we need to do? We need to be on that narrow road that Jesus described in Matthew 7. We need to be following the ways in Christ that Paul was adhering to, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we should, because of what's at stake, be motivated to follow the way that's being outlined this morning. But sometimes in life we find people, we encounter people who are, and this is not necessarily a bad thing, but we find people who are almost always focused on short-range planning and short-range goals. There are some people in life, as far as getting past today, they just really don't focus on that. Some will only pursue the narrow path. They will only pursue the ways in Christ if they can see that there is a benefit to them. In other words, we can say, well, there are these great benefits in the future. And somebody says, well, I'm not thinking that far out. I need to see benefits. I need to see some assistance. I need to see some usefulness today. And unless I can find some usefulness today in the Christian life, it's just not worth it to me. Well, if this is the mindset that we have or people that we meet, if they have that, let's see if there's some benefit looking now from the book of Luke, the first chapter, the end of the chapter. Let's see if we can find some present benefit in following that narrow way which is involved with Christ. As we look at this passage in Luke 1, it's verse 79, we find a text, we come to a passage that is seldom used by people. This information, of course, was spoken by the father of John the Baptist. Information that is, in some respects, a little more difficult maybe than some other parts of the Bible. And I think a lot of times people just read it and say, well, let's get on to the other things about the life of Jesus and John. But notice this statement from Zacharias. To shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the, and here's our word again, into the way. Now this is not the way of righteousness, Matthew 21, that we just looked at. But John the Baptist's father said the way of peace. God says there's a way. And this is the narrow way that Jesus described in Matthew 21. It is this way of righteousness, or Matthew 7. It's the way of righteousness, Matthew 21. And now this way is described as a way of peace. In life, there are a lot of ways that are not peaceful. If we've not yet filed our taxes, the deadline for filing is getting closer and closer, and sometimes that doesn't leave peaceful thoughts with people. And this year, as we think about taxes, we come to a time where we find that there are some people who cheat on their taxes. Tax cheaters do not get much relief. When people cheat on their taxes, I suspect that after they file those taxes, a couple weeks go by, and they probably don't want to check their mailbox every day. Because they're wondering, if I check the mailbox today, will that be that audit notice from the IRS? Or maybe if it's not the mailbox, maybe it's the telephone. When the phone rings, let's check the caller ID. Is it the Internal Revenue Service telling us that they want to audit us? We think about criminals. They have their ways. If you look at some of the shows that have featured people who have escaped from prison and they're on the run, they're always looking over the shoulder. That's the way of the escapee. Always wondering, Who's watching? Who's looking? Who's going to find them? The ways of the world, and it doesn't have to involve criminal activity. The ways of the world bring distress, grief, anxiety, pain. But God says there's a way. There's a way of peace. Luke 1, verse 79. Peace is a highly desirable quality. And a way of peace, a life of peace, an existence of peace, really sounds appealing to people. But how do we get that way of peace? How do we achieve that in life and maintain it? Well, that way of peace is the way of righteousness, Matthew 21, verse 32. Oftentimes people say, well, I'd like that peace. I'd like to have ongoing peace in my life. And that doesn't mean that always everything's going to be great, but it does mean there is that inner tranquility time after time. But people say, well, yes, I want the peace, but I don't want the price that comes with it. I don't want that way of righteousness. God says these two things go together. Reject the way of righteousness, reject peace. Accept the way of righteousness, have peace. We will not have peace without earnestly seeking that righteousness. But the Lord warns, Matthew 7, as we've already seen, only a few will take it. So the majority will never find the lasting tranquility that's available in Christ. If we're willing to embrace Paul's ways in Christ, 1 Corinthians 4:17, we gain access to many, many wonderful benefits. Now sometimes people look at this thing that we're talking about this morning and they say, well, that sounds good. And I'm really attracted to that. And they get so close. They get right to the edge. And just as they're on the verge of going through with it, they say, well, I've decided to not do it. It all sounds too complicated. It all sounds too hard. That's not God's message. That's a message from the devil. In John 14, this word that we're looking at from 1 Corinthians 4, we find that Jesus used it. In John 14, verse 4, the Lord said to some of his friends, you know the way. Same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 4:17. And this word that's translated way, it just keeps popping up in some important places. The Lord said in John 14, verse 4, that we can know, we can be absolutely certain of the right way. And that right way is that narrow way. It's that way of righteousness that leads to the way of peace. And then in verse 6 of John 14, Jesus once again used this word that's translated way. But this time when Jesus says the way, he says, I'm the way. If you want to have this peace, if you want this narrow road, if you want this life of righteousness, he said, you come to me. Through Christ, through his word. Now this statement is very, very revealing based on what we've learned thus far. If we follow Christ, his way is going to give us all the things that we've described. But to access that, we've got to be part of his church. And doing the things associated with that, the ways of Paul that were associated with Christ. If we do not follow the way of Christ, we're going to be in a path that leads to somewhere else than a place of peace and heaven. Now leaving the books that talk about the life of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As we think about this word, this translated way, we want to turn our attention to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 13, verse 10, we again find this word that's translated way. And here, the word is used to describe the right ways of the Lord. We probably would think it very odd if the writer had said the wrong ways of the Lord. But he's able to say the right ways of the Lord because the ways in Christ, Paul's ways in Christ, 1 Corinthians 4:17, they were the right ways. It's the right ways that put us on the narrow course. The right ways are the ways of peace. Most of what we've seen from Matthew chapter 7 want to pursue ways that are wrong. But here in Acts 13, we find, as we look at verse 10, not only the right ways of the Lord, but this passage also talks about perverting the ways of God. How would we feel if this afternoon we went out to a restaurant and the water that's served, the drink that's served, the beverage that we ingest is poisoned? And then as we get home, the water, the beverages that we drink in our homes, it's also poisoned. Well, we wouldn't be real happy. We'd be upset. We'd say we need pure water. Our beverages do not need to be contaminated. That's wrong. In the book of Revelation, and we've studied this at various times, we made to some degree mention of it again this morning in the class, Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. We have here a picture of Satan and his forces upon the earth. And John pictures the devil is trying to poison things like water, streams and rivers, fountainheads and so forth. Well, that's not the devil out there at the water plant trying to poison humanity's water supply. And John makes that clear because he says a third part of man was affected. That is, man's spiritual being, his eternal being. Satan was trying to and continues to try to poison people spiritually with things like false religion, false doctrine. He's trying to pervert the right ways of the Lord. Acts 13, verse 10. Today, people will often guzzle false religion like it's going out of style. A prominent idea in our society is that people can do whatever they want when it comes to being saved. They can come to God in any number of ways. When Jesus spoke about his way in John 14:6, though, his way, he also used the word truth. God's way of truth is another way of describing that narrow way. Matthew chapter 7. This is the way of salvation. Acts 16, verse 17. Once again, same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 4:17. Now, our world, when we think about the way of salvation, our world likes to ask people, well, how are you saved? They generally imply by that question that there are multiple ways to be saved. And when one person stands up and says, well, I accepted Jesus into my heart by a prayer, the world says, great, that's wonderful. Another person says, well, God gave me a dream, and they say, oh, that was special, we're glad for you. Another person says, well, God sent a sensation through my body. Wow, you were really blessed. Our world believes in ways of salvation, but the Bible, Acts 16, verse 17 says, the way of salvation. Well, there are the ways in Christ, the way to be saved, the way to worship, the way to live the Christian life. We've got to learn about Paul's ways in Christ, the ways which were taught in every church in the first century to please God. As we look at this word, we all find that it's also used in Acts 18, verse 25. This is the story of Apollos. You may remember that he went in and he began to preach. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 18 that he was instructed in the way of the Lord. But a close examination of this chapter tells us that even though he had some information, and even though he was a preacher who was mighty in the Scriptures, he was an eloquent man. He was a great orator. The story in Acts 18 says that this powerful preacher was corrected. Sometimes preachers need to be corrected. And on this particular occasion, this preacher was corrected. Being a powerful preacher is not enough. Knowing a lot about the Bible is not enough. This man was not properly preaching the ways in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:17. So when there were some people who were familiar with the ways in Christ, they took him aside. They dealt with it in a good manner, in a gentle way, and they corrected this man. Well, this is a great lesson for us today. We still have people who want to follow the Lord, but they're not familiar with Paul's ways in Christ that were taught in every church. And today when we find these people, they also need to be corrected. Now, in some cases, people are not all that receptive to the ways in Christ. There are some people who say, well, we don't want to be corrected. We have our ways, and we're content with our ways. Well, with those ways that are not part of the narrow way, that is a problem. But when people are not content with God's ways, sometimes they react in a negative way. Thus, a little later in the book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 4, the Bible talks about the way, same word. But this time it says that this way was persecuted. There were some people who didn't want to hear about the way of Christ. Throughout time, many have tried to oppose the ways of God and Christ. And it's still possible to do this today. But it is a poor, poor choice. Those who fail to follow the ways given by Paul through the Word and through the other apostles will not know the way of peace, Romans 3, verse 17. Paul's ways in Christ are the more excellent way, and that includes love, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. Christ is the best possible way of all. But sometimes people will say, no, that narrow way, it's not of interest to us. We want the broad way. Regardless of what the world says, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, verse 20, that God's way is the new way. It's the living way. It's the right way. And God says, if you want to please me, live in this way. And hopefully we're wiser than the majority of the people in the world. Because most of the folks, as Jesus warned in Matthew 7, most are going to take the broad way. The world and its ways, the world's failed for thousands of years in its ways. And yet people still think somehow that the way of the world is going to be the right way to go. If we take any of the world's ways, every single one is going to end up in failure. We can refuse to embrace the ways of Christ, forfeit the hope and promise of eternal life, and forsake peace as well. There is the way of Cain, Jude 11, but we know where it took him. There's also the way of righteousness. Peter talked about it, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. This is the way of Christ. It's the way that leads to peace, Luke 1:79. And God says, this is the way. This is the path that I want you to be on. Follow the ways in Christ. Do what God has said, nothing more, nothing less. This morning, as we leave this building, each one here is going to make a choice. We will leave this building either committed to the way of Christ, the ways that Paul was following in his day and time, the ways that he wanted to be followed in every church, or we're going to follow the ways of the world. There is no third option. There is no alternative choice. So this morning, is in just a moment, we sing the invitation song. Think in your mind which way you've decided to follow. Is it the way of Jesus Christ, that narrow way? The way to heaven, the way of peace, the way of righteousness? Or is it a way associated with the world? A way that leads to grief, anxiety, no peace, and destruction? Two choices, two spiritual masters. Which will we choose? If it's the wrong one, let's change it. And let's change it now as we stand and sing the selected song.